Fabulous track there, and love chatting to the ladies, but we are getting close to the wire and I have Conor Pope waiting in the wings, so I'm going to fade that down. Conor, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, how are you?
I am good, not a bother. So if anybody wants to get in touch with Conor about consumer conundrums, it's pricewatch@rte.ie if you have a problem that you need him to solve. And we'll get to today's problem in just a moment. But first, Conor, because it's what everybody is talking about, it's in the papers again today, and quite a few Irish people affected once again by the French air traffic control strike, which has grounded dozens of flights arriving and departing Dublin Airport today. It's ongoing, isn't it?
It is. It's been happening for a very long time, since the start of the year. And just very briefly, the background is that the French government wants to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. The unions don't want that to happen. And air traffic controllers have gone on strike. So I think there's 15 flights due to fly from Ireland to France cancelled today, and then a similar number that are due to come back. Now, you might say to yourself, well, that isn't a huge number, but if you think that there might be 150 people on each of those flights, the numbers of people impacted really quickly mount up, and it can be a terribly distressing and stressful situation to find yourself in an airport with, you know, planning to come home or planning to get to your holidays or get to a business meeting or whatever it might be, and you can't go because of a strike. And I mean, I like a lot of people, I'd be supportive of unions and their right to protest. But I think something like this can really have a negative impact on people who are trying to travel.
So if the flight has been cancelled, what is the situation? What are the consumer rights?
Well, there are some very, very clearly laid out rights. So under EU Regulation 261, airlines must offer passengers who are impacted by a cancellation like this a full refund or a rerouting at the next available flight or at a later time that suits the passenger. So they're the three inalienable rights that people have. Okay. Now, if you opt for a refund, the airline's responsibility ends there then. So that's the end of the story. But if you ask to be put on the next available flight, then the airline has a responsibility to look after you, particularly if you're overseas. So that means that, let's say, if you're trying to come home from France to Ireland, the flight is cancelled and they can't get you on a flight for another 2 days, well, then the airline has a legal right to look after you. And of course, then the question is, well, what does look after mean? Well, you're entitled to overnight accommodation. You're entitled to reasonable expenses incurred for food and drink. Now, that doesn't mean you can like live it up in a Michelin-starred restaurant and have like a tasting menu that costs 300 quid and then give the receipts to Ryanair. But, you know, they are obliged to cover the costs until they can get you home. And in the old days, Catherine, what would happen is that the airlines would have hotels on standby and they'd shuttle you from the airport to the hotel and you'd stay there. And it was always a pretty grim experience. Nowadays, you might find yourself in an airport in Nice or Nantes or wherever it might be, and there isn't a sinner around to help you. So in those cases, what you need to do is you need to look after yourself. So you go, if the next available flight is 2 days from now and you're stuck in France, you go and you find yourself a hotel near the airport. You keep checking in with the airline. You keep all your receipts, and then when you get home, you submit copies. And I can't stress that enough. You submit copies of your receipts to the airline, and they have a legal obligation to look after those receipts.
Okay. And what is being talked about in terms of a solution for this? Because it's not just French airports, it's actually French airspace as well. So you mightn't even be flying in and out of France, but you could be going to Spain or Portugal or whatever, and you're affected as well. So what are they talking about? What's being talked around the European table?
Well, this is the whole thing. I mean, whilst I think most people would support a union's right to industrial action and to defend their workers' rights, it does seem absurd that a dispute between the French aviation system, French air traffic controllers and the French government should impact somebody flying from Ireland to Spain. Like, that makes absolutely no sense. One of the things that Ryanair would be calling for, and Ryanair is very vocal on this in particular, is that there should be a minimum service obligation put in place. So in a lot of countries, when it comes to the critical infrastructure, and like flights would be a part of that critical aviation infrastructure, there is a minimum service that unions have to provide. So you might be able to have an industrial action, but you wouldn't be able to ground the whole system to a halt. And I think something like that would probably have to be implemented across the European Union. But it's not going to happen this summer, and it probably won't happen next summer, because it's an extremely difficult and complex thing to put in place. But it is something that would need to happen, not necessarily to stop unions going on strike in France, but it would stop unions in France impacting the holidaymakers trying to go from Ireland to Spain.
Okay. Well, speaking of holidays, lots of people would have been packing sun cream and sunscreen, and we would have all been using it here as well. And that's what our problem is today. And a listener has texted in. Now, I know this might sound like make me sound like a penny pincher, but I was wondering if you could tell me if the sunscreen I bought last year can be used this year. I have about 6 bottles of really expensive sunscreen and they're almost all full, so I'd hate to just bin them if I can get use out of them this year. Is there any way I can check if they are past their sell-by date? Is there not a sell-by date on the bottles? No?
There is, but it's a code, Catherine. Ah. So if you don't know it's there, you could be staring at the bottle for a long time going, well, I have no idea. Because like, it's not like you buy a carton of milk or you buy a pound of butter or a loaf of bread and it has a use-by date or a best-before date or whatever it might be. But there is good news for this particular listener, and there is a good chance that the sun cream that they bought last year will be able to be used this year. But it comes with an important caveat. So the first thing they need to do is they need to check the label to be sure. And what they're looking for is an icon of a small jar at the back of the bottle with a number 3, 6 or 12 followed by the letter M. Now that indicates how many months after opening a product the product will last when it comes to sun cream. So you might see it has a little jar plus 12M. That tells you that the product is going to last for 12 months after you open it. So then the person will need to work out, okay, well, did I open it in May of last year or did I open it in September of last year? And like, you might think, well, what difference would it make? But it might make a difference. Okay, so that's the first thing to remember.
Sorry, and can I just add, yeah. I have been travelling for 25 years and I have never ever heard that.
I know. And actually,
that is news to me.
I checked a couple of bottles just to make sure that I wasn't completely mental, because it's not, it doesn't leap off the bottle at you. Yeah. But it's on every single bottle. So it has, and it doesn't look like a jar. So don't expect to see a jam jar. Now, it's a small little circular object plus the number 3, 6 or 12 followed by the letter M.
Okay.
Now, that indicates how many months after opening a product. Now, it's not definitive, Catherine, and that's important, because the longevity or otherwise of this particular sun cream, whatever it might be, depends on how you've looked after it. Because just as you or I can be damaged by the sun, or at least by the heat, so can the sun cream. So let's say if you had it sitting in the baking Tunisian sun for 2.5 weeks last
August. The Clondalkin sun this weekend.
Or the Clondalkin sun this weekend. The qualities of the product deteriorate, which means that it mightn't work as effectively. And okay. Then it comes down to, well, the only way you could work out if it's going to work for you is by putting it on and going out in the sun. And to be honest, that's not a great way to do it, because you put it on, you go out in the sun, you burn your head or whatever it might be, and then you're going, oh, I wish I'd just binned that.
Okay.
So I think the best advice, unless it was wildly expensive and it looks like it's been looked after and in good nick and that it's within the 12-month range, bin it and buy a new product.
Okay. Thank you so much, Connor. Connor Pope, back after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.